Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at FWCBtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Amen. It's great to be here today. Jeremy was right. I love audience participation, so you're going to have to talk today. I'm just letting you know in advance, and I'm going to give you plenty to talk about, but I want to start with a really funny quote. I heard this recently, and it made me laugh, and it said, "Never fight until you have to, but when it's time to, fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp of Noah's Ark and it's starting to rain." I don't know why. It made me laugh. Well, I'm glad to be here with you today. My wife and my sons are with us today. And we have two sons. We have two daughters. And my sons are with me today. One just turned 16. One turned 10. Last year, we had a really crazy accident with Judah. He was skateboarding and fell off face first, knocked himself out. And he came in trembling, and my daughter found, he likes to video record everything, and my daughter found the recording of what actually happened. And I was in a meeting, and they called me out of the meeting and said, "Come to the ER, Judah." That's all it said in the thing. So rushed to the ER, and I walked in, and my son had his eyes closed and was shaking really bad. I didn't really know what was happening, but I knew it was serious. And, you know, what any parent would do, I grabbed him, pulled his head into my chest, and I just began to pray in the spirit over him. And so effortlessly, in the middle of shaking, his adrenaline, his body was in shock, he reaches up, grabs my hand, and says, "Dad, don't worry. God's healing me right now." And if you've ever needed a boost in faith, there's nothing like a boost of faith when your child says stuff like that. So what it ended up happening was he had almost torn through the tendon that connects your skull to your spinal column and keeps your head on your body. And they rushed him from where we were at into the trauma unit at a really great hospital we're at. And if you've never been into a trauma unit, you have missed something. And you don't ever want to go there. There were about 15 doctors there waiting for us. And they were just kind of poking him. He couldn't feel anything on the left side of his body. And, they were poking him so hard it was drawing blood. He couldn't feel anything. And, they're kind of looking at each other, shaking their head. And Heather just is about, at this point, she'd been strong. And at this point, when he couldn't feel anything, she started to break down a little bit. You know, and we're praying, we're hugging each other, and we're just trusting the Lord. And, one doctor comes up, and we're like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Well, we found some spots on his brain. We honestly don't know why he's not paralyzed right now, but it's pretty sure we don't really know how he's ever going to come out of this. And we're ready to do surgery if we need to." And, we're just taking it all in. And it was probably bad news after bad news for about 12 hours straight. And it was about 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm with him in the room, and he had a horrible concussion on top of everything else. The Holy Spirit hit me at about 2 in the morning. And I just began to pray, and then people started to find out what was happening, and different friends from all over the country and different ministries started to pray and just pour in and send voice texts and everything. We just began to pray in the room, and about 3 hours later, the doctors came in and said, "Hey, I don't know what happened, but those spots on his brain are gone, so that's good news. I don't know what happened." And I was like, "It's all right, I know what happened." And then a little bit after that, one thing after another, one miracle after the other, and about maybe 4 to 5 weeks afterwards, he'd been, we kept him in a neck brace doing what the doctor said. We took him in. He said, "Well, I don't know what to say. There's no medical evidence that your son was even injured at this point around. There's no scar tissue on the tendon. There's no nothing." And it was an incredible testimony. They picked it up. Some of our friends at CBN, they picked it up and ran his testimony on the air, and it's encouraged, hundreds of thousands across the country. But I want to say today that kind of turnaround is coming into your life this morning, okay? And I'm not just talking about miracles physically. I'm talking about everything in your life. There is a turnaround coming to you this morning. And it's important that in those moments in those moments of life, and I'm glad to have him here today. It was hard when he wanted to skateboard again. He was just like, all right, I'm ready to start skateboarding again. Can I get out there? And I'm like, all right. I know God is healer, but, you know, we're going to go with this. And now he's skateboarding at the park, and, you know, people are, you know, he gives his testimony and everything. And it's really an encouragement to a lot of people, and it's really a blessing. So I want you to understand the same faith that it takes for a miracle is the same faith that you have to live by on a daily basis. Somebody say amen. Say it with me again. Say amen. And there's a lot, we have preached a lot in the past of generations gone by on faith, and we limit it to literally bodily miracles. And it's wonderful because it's true. But there's a lot of miracles, and there's a dimension of the Spirit that we need to walk in on a daily basis that doesn't always require you praying for the sick. Sometimes it's you laying hands on yourself and stirring yourself up. Sometimes it's laying hands on your mouth and changing the way that you talk. Come on, someone. Sometimes it's laying hands on your family and saying, there are some things that need to change. And the same faith that it takes to see miracles happen physically is the same faith that it takes to live for God and to live out of a spiritual dimension on a daily basis. Because sometimes you don't need to get healed. Sometimes you need God to move in your situation. Somebody say amen. And the faith that does one is the same faith that does everything. And it's important that you understand this because it will begin to transform your life. So there's a great quote that I love, and over the last year, we have said it a lot, and it goes like this: joy is the serious business of heaven. Say that with me. Say, joy is the serious business of heaven, and today, we're taking care of some serious business, okay? And I came in here on Friday, and what I began to sense in my spirit was that, and I actually said it to you, that I am praying, and I saw the Lord begin to do it, and I'm praying into this, all of you, that joy will begin to erupt in this place, not because of what God did in one person, but because what God is doing in you on a daily basis. There are a lot of you, and I can see it on you right now. Look at your neighbor and say, there's some joy that needs to happen in your life right now, okay? Look at your neighbor on the other side and say, I don't even need to say anything. There's some joy that needs to happen in you right now, all right? There is some joy and some serious business. You may not realize it, but joy is where God takes care of things in your life. Okay, and it's not because you heard someone say something great. It's not because you heard a great sermon. It's not because someone stirred you up. It's because you got stirred up when you got into the Word of God and you realized, that's me right there that he's talking about right now. That's me that the Spirit is being stirred up right now. That's me that's in Christ. That's me that's crucified. That's me that's buried. That's me that's raised again. That's me that's raised and seated. That's me that has every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's me that God is talking about. That's me that Paul's talking about when he said, I've been knocked down this many times. I've been hard pressed, but I haven't been crushed yet. I haven't been broken yet. That's me that he's talking about right now. That's me that's supposed to have a godly confession. That's me that's supposed to realize every good thing that God has done for me. That's me that he's praying for in heaven right now. That's me who's got an intercessor right now. That's me that's got an advocate right now. That's me full of the Holy Ghost right now. When you begin to read and really understand what's going on in the Word of God, you cannot help but get happy in the middle of what everything is going on. And I want to say this, joy is a very inconvenient aspect because God will hit you at the most inconvenient times. And the joy that God has set aside for you in Christ will hit you and rise up at the most inconvenient times. But it's up to you to give in to that joy when it's the most inconvenient. Because I'm telling you right now, when it's the most inconvenient is when you will see the greatest breakthroughs. Somebody say amen. Say it again. Say, we're taking care of some serious business right now. And some of you don't even understand the level of joy that is supposed to come out of you has everything to do with the level of blessing that God has planned for your life. You can't judge someone else's joy because you don't know what God is doing on the inside of them. So look at your neighbor and say, if I get happy this morning, just don't judge me, all right? T.L. Osborne said this one time, and it really sticks with me to this day. T.L. Osborne said, a lot of you are waiting for me to finish preaching so we can start ministering to people. But I'm waiting for you to get a hold of the Word of God so I can just stop preaching altogether. And this is the truth. When you get a hold of the Word of God, I love the laying on of hands and everything else, but I'm telling you, you'll see more deliverance when you get a hold of this than anyone who could ever lay hands on you. You will get more deliverance when you find yourself in Christ than any prophet could ever prophesy over you. We put so much of an emphasis on, I need you to do this for me. I need you to pray for me. I need you to call me at 3 a.m. No, you don't need any of that. You need this in your spirit 24 hours a day. The fivefold giftings are to equip us and to build us up and everything else that God has blessed us with, but I'm telling you right now, when you get a hold of this, the fivefold ministry takes on a whole new purpose in your life. And when you get a hold of this, you realize, I don't always need a word of knowledge. I don't always need to be called out. I don't always need to be puffed up. This word of God will change and transform my life and my family for the rest of my life. Somebody say amen. We're getting to the point now, deliverance is a hot word, and I believe with all of my heart that deliverance is going to take a beautiful turn, and it's going to come back into the Word of God when we realize this. When you got saved, look at your neighbor and say, when you got saved. When you got saved, everything about your past died. When you got saved, everything about your bloodline was cleansed. When you got saved, everything that was about your family, I don't care what it was, witchcraft or Freemasonry or every other occultish thing you could say, we have limited deliverance and the power of God to something that we can achieve instead of something that was already done for us in Christ Jesus. You're not delivered when you throw up when someone prays for you. You're not delivered because someone preached, rebuked witchcraft off of your life. You are delivered because the old you died. And when the old you died, everything about that person died. All the witchcraft died. All the family curses died. All the alcoholism died. All the drug addictions died and everything else. The greatest deliverance you will ever see is when you begin to get excited and realize, I am just like Jesus. I am his brother. I am his child. I am his joint heir. There's nothing left in me that needs to be cleansed. But what does need to happen on a daily basis is you putting your flesh under. And one of the greatest ways to put your flesh under is for you to get excited about who you are in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. There's a great testimony. Have any of you ever heard of a woman named Lillian B. Yeomans? She was a missionary in China in the late 1800s. And there she did some incredible things, but in one case, she developed smallpox. And she was isolated. She was locked in a room, covered from head to toe, and in the middle of it, the doctors didn't know what to do with her, and she was praying for God to deliver her from this, and the Lord said, I just want you to praise me. And he showed her a vision, and he said, this is your praise basket. It's empty. When the praise basket is full, you will be healed. And this was before Christian television. This is before sermons or anything else. This is just you, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. Somebody say amen. So in that room, she began to praise. She began to worship Jesus in a very radical way, as the story goes. And the doctors would come in because she was bothering all of the other patients and scaring everyone. They thought she had lost her mind, and she was delirious. She prays for several days straight until she had nothing left. And after several days, close to a week, the doctor came in, and every single one of the smallpox was gone, and there was not even a scar to indicate that she ever even had it, because she made a decision to get happy. Joy, ha-ha, joy is the serious business of heaven. Somebody say amen. So today, we're going to get happy, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, ha-ha-ha, I'm going to get happy. Ha-ha-ha. Some of the greatest freedom you'll ever find is when you begin to get excited in the Holy Ghost, in spite of what it looks like. Somebody say amen. Say it again with me. Say ha, ha, ha. I do that a lot now. It hit me about a year ago. And whenever I start to pray or minister, one of the first things I do is I just start laughing. And it usually starts with a ha, ha, ha. And then I really get happy after that. One person thought I was praying for them, and they thought I was making fun of them while I was praying. They got upset and told me about it. Why are you making fun of my condition? I said, I'm not. I'm laughing because God wants to heal your condition, and if you would get happy, you would understand that too. You're never going to get anything from God with a grumpy, nasty attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, you better pay attention right now, all right? Some of you are so grumpy and nasty, you couldn't get anything if it was standing right in front of you. And it's time to change that on the inside. When you read the Word of God, you find that God's a very happy being. You find the Holy Spirit loves to hang around happy people. The Lord loves to turn things around when people get full of joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy is probably one of the most neglected aspects of our lives as believers. The enemy cannot shut up a happy people. The enemy cannot hold back a happy people. Society cannot hold back a happy people. The government cannot hold back a happy people. The White House does not determine what goes on in your house. The joy of the Holy Ghost determines what goes on in your house. And the happier you allow yourself to get in spite of everything that's going on. Don't worry, we're going to get into the Word in just a second here. I'm just priming the pump a little bit, all right? All right. Look at your neighbor again and say, you don't really have a choice today. You're going to get happy one way or the other. All right? We were at a camp meeting last year, and I hadn't been in this particular camp in quite some time. And since I was a little boy, and as soon as I walked in, the Holy Spirit just began to hit me. And I looked at my son, and I said, son, you're probably going to see me do some things today you've never seen me do. And he said, what does that mean? And I'll never forget it. It was last July. The Holy Spirit hit me, and I just took off running around that church along with, 500 or 600 other people. And Judah just, eyes were as big as you could see, eyes as big as saucers. And I sat back down. He's like, is this the way it's supposed to be every week? And I said, yes, this is supposed to be the way it's every week. There is a level of joy. We love the power of God. We love the glory of God. We love the anointing of God. But I'm telling you, joy is, I can sense it in my spirit, joy is a missing element in a lot of your lives today. There is nothing more contagious than a happy church. God will move wherever the word is spoken, wherever there is faith. But there is something special about a happy church. There's something special about a happy people. Some of the greatest breakthroughs in your life will come in fits of unrestrained joy. And if you would just let go of a little bit in your mind and get happy, you'd realize there's not much in your mind that you should be holding on to anyway. If you knew how much He had for you when you got happy, you let go of that little pea brain thing that you have between your ears to begin with. If you knew how little there was between your ears, let's just be honest, and how much there was on the other end of the Lord, you'd let go really fast. Joy is not in church. Joy is everywhere that we go. Amen? All right. Turn with me really quickly to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. I'm going to read it to you in the ESV. I love the ESV translation. Then I'm going to read it to you in another translation. But I want you to know that you're the ecclesia today. Ain't that with me saying I'm the ecclesia? How many of you know what that word means? We call it the church, but really in Greek it means a group that has been summoned together for a specific purpose. You've been summoned here today. You've been summoned every week here in Bardstown. You are a summoned group of people. How many of you have ever bought anything from IKEA? Y'all know what IKEA is? That's not close. Okay, so IKEA is a, God bless them, they're a furniture store or a everything store that came over from Europe. They've got them in different places. We've got one that opened up. And if you've ever bought anything from IKEA, probably close to buying something from Amazon. It looks great, and you expect it to come fully assembled when you get there. And then you open it up. Man, how many of you like to read the directions before you put things together? Bunch of liars. You know you don't like to do that. All right. And the truth is this. When you buy something from IKEA, you literally have to put everything together from scratch. You have any woodworkers in here, you have to put the little pegs in between every little thing. You have to glue them in so when you pull all the wood, it'll take you a good 8 hours to put something this big together. You have to literally get an interpreter from the Lord to interpret what those things say to begin with. But anything that's worth building is going to require some assembly. Somebody say amen. And the church that God is building right now here in Bardstown is going to require some assembly. Somebody say amen. That means that you are going to have to get on board with what God is doing and realize I am required to be a part of what God's doing. There's some assembly required right now. And if there's some assembly required, that means there's going to have to be some turnarounds that happen in your life. All right, so let's turn here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. Paul does a great job of describing everything that he goes through the same way David did a great job of describing everything that he went through in Psalms. But right here in Philippians, Paul says this. He's describing some of the things that have come after him, the people that have come after him, the people that have spoken against him. And this wasn't on social media. This was real life right now. Okay? We get upset today when people talk about us online or make a post that we don't agree with. This man had people fasting for his death. As bad as you think you've got it, I guarantee you no one has ever fasted and prayed that you would die. Think about that for a moment. This man wasn't allegorically facing spiritual war. This boy was facing spiritual warfare on the daily. All right? As bad as you think you've got it, it's not that bad. But he says this, and in all of this, I rejoice. That's the end of verse 18. Yes, and I will rejoice. Twice he says it. Verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. And it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed. I'm going to read this to you in the Message translation, or the Message paraphrase, excuse me, for any scholars out there. I'm going to read this in verses 18 through 21. So how am I to respond? I've decided that I really don't care about their motives, whether mixed, bad, or indifferent. And every time one of them opens his mouth, Christ is proclaimed. So I just cheer them on. And I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Say that with me. Say, I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything He wants to do in me and through me will be done, and I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect, everyone say, I don't expect. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. One translation says this will turn. The King James actually said, "This I know this will turn for my salvation." Everything in your life can turn at the... Everything can turn at the drop of a dime when the Lord interjects and intervenes. Our job is to keep the celebration going until it turns. Look at your neighbor and say, it will turn. Okay, and this is the point that Paul is trying to make. And while I'm waiting, I don't expect to be embarrassed in the slightest. I don't expect to be shown up. I don't expect to be deserted. I don't expect to be left out in the cold to dry. I don't expect my theology changed just because I'm going through something. We have a bad habit of changing our theology to fit our circumstances sometimes. We have a bad habit of saying things, well, let's preach today on when God doesn't answer prayer. If it's not in the Bible, shut your mouth, all right? There's no sermon in the Bible that says, well, now we're going to preach about when God is silent. The only thing that's certain there is that I'm going to pray until He does speak, and I'm going to keep the celebration going until this situation turns, and I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. Somebody say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't expect to be embarrassed while I'm waiting for it to turn. Even our worship songs today, not judging anything here, this is great today. Even our worship songs today are so emotionally anemic of faith in the Word of God. We're so into our feelings, we have forgotten everything about the Word of God. And we're producing a bunch of weak, anemic, limp Christians that don't have a backbone and that don't even know what faith is. Faith is getting your feelings stroked today, and the only thing left is an inspiring self-help gospel that's not even helping the people that you're trying to. We have reduced the Word of God to a literally Twitter format. We're producing believers that have ADHD and they can't even sit still for more than 10 minutes if they don't like what you're saying. And we wonder why things aren't turning. But I'm telling you today, if you will let the joy of the Lord hit you right now, if you will let God begin to take care of some serious business in your life, I can tell you now, self-help is not going to help you when you're praying for your child to come home. Self-help is not going to help you when you're holding your son with a torn tendon and possibly paralyzed body for the rest of your life. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Self-help is not going to help your marriage when you're on the brink of divorce. But you know what, Hill? Getting happy in the midst of everything that's going on. And opening your mouth while you're happy in the midst of what's going on. Guarding your confession. My words are not literally a confession-based words. My words are based on the reality of the Word of God. And when I speak what God is saying, I can't help but get happy. And in these moments, it's important to make sure my confession lines up with the Word of God. Because I don't know about you, but I'm expecting some serious business to take place. I'm expecting some turnarounds to happen. And when those turnarounds begin to happen, I know it's because I chose to be happy, I chose to trust God, and I chose to ignore all the other ignorance and stupidity that may be coming out of your mouth. Or brother, you just need to accept that. That might be God's plan for you. No, it's not. God's plan for me is in Christ Jesus. God's plan for me is to be prosperous. God's plan for me is to succeed in everything that I hands touch. It doesn't mean that I won't have a fight. Faith, everyone, we've got the faith message mixed up. Faith doesn't mean you've got to avoid a fight. Faith doesn't mean you're never going to have one. Faith doesn't mean things aren't going to come at you. You better touch your neighbor and say, this is real life we're living in right now. Faith means no matter what happens, I am coming through it unscathed. If they did it, then that means I can do it too, because I've got the same spirit of faith in me that Abraham had, that Noah had, that Isaac had, that Jacob had, and even better than that, I've got the same spirit of faith in me that Jesus has at the right hand of God right now. That's not my feel-good cliche, that's my reality. And it should be yours. Look at your neighbor and say, things are turning around right now. What you're believing God for is going to require a turnaround. Don't believe for a second that it's not. You've got to have enough guts and you've got to have enough gumption to stare whatever's going on with you in the face and say, nope, it's going to turn. It's going to turn. Look at your neighbor right now and say, it's going to turn. Look at your neighbor and say, it's about to turn right now. Look at your neighbor and say, it is turning right now. And it's up to you to stay in the middle of what's going on until it turns. And while it's happening, you embrace what God is doing in your life. While it's happening, like Paul, you say, I don't expect to be embarrassed or ashamed in the least. We had someone at our church recently. It was an African-American sister. And I don't know how it is here, but when everything hit during COVID, the tensions got really high where we live. And she came into church about a year ago, and she, you know, I didn't know it, but the enemy was lying to her. She had been abused most of her marriage, most of her life, car batteries dropped on her, every other possible thing you could possibly have happen. And she had been the victim of a lot of different things. And when she came to church, the enemy lied to her and said, they don't want you here because the pastor's white and you're not. And after about 8 months of sitting and being saturated with the Word of God, who you are in Christ Jesus and every other great thing that's found in there, she realized that the devil is a liar. And she stood up and said, I came in and I was told I would need deliverance. I was told that I would need this kind of thing, that I would need this specific type of deliverance, that I would need this and that I would need that and that all of these different things. And she said, and I choose to believe the word. And she said, for the first time in my life, I realized that white people don't hate me. I realized that my pastor loves me. I realized that the body of Christ loves me. I realized I don't have to be anything ashamed of what happened to me, of what my ex-husband did to me in my life. I'm free. I'm free, I'm free. And she said, and the reason I'm free is because you didn't shut up about telling me not to quit. You didn't shut up. You prayed for me every time I asked to pray and everything else that goes around. And then it hit her mom. Her mom had been suffering unforgiveness. She blamed God. She was mad at God, mad at family after her husband died. She was a diabetic. She was full of all these different things. And she said, somewhere, I don't know what it was, about 4 weeks ago, you had been preaching on love and forgiveness and stepping out in faith. And she said, and I chose to take you at your word and take the word at God's word. And she said, and I went back to the doctor after I forgave and let go. My diabetes left me. My blood pressure left me. My everything else left me and everything else. And she said, I don't understand. I'm telling you, when you take the word of God at face value, things begin to turn around in your life. And when you realize this is my season and it's time for it to turn, there's a timing. And the timing is this. God is not playing for you to suffer 20 years just to have a momentary breakthrough. God's plan is as soon as you accept the word, that's his time. As soon as you accept it into your life, that is his time. That is your time. And you can settle on it. God's timing is literally you accepting the word to happen and it happening right there. Last week, we had a woman with COPD. She could barely breathe. She had asthma. She came up in a new members class. She got prayer. She laid hands. And while they were doing numbers, she fell out in the service and just laid on the floor up front at the stage area the entire service. And after the service, got up completely healed, medically verified, went back. The doctor said, I don't know what happened, but the COPD is gone. All the breathing problems are gone. There's no scarring anymore on your lungs. What did you do? She said, I believed God. I don't know what else to say. Now listen, we shout and we praise for the miracles, but it's time to sink our feet into the ground and realize there's a turnaround happening in your life right now. I believe with all my heart there's a turnaround happening in this congregation right now. Turn with me over to the book of Joshua, chapter 23. The book of Joshua in chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. This is what everyone likes to say at the end of Joshua's life, he says it, you know, it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, the cross and enter the promised land. There's a lot of people that ignore this verse. This is what Joshua says at the end of his life. Now, you got to understand, Joshua had been in Egypt. Joshua had been throughout the desert for 40 years. Joshua was there when an 80-year-old Caleb and said, hey, you can have anything you want here. Where do you want? I want the mountains. I want to kill those giants. I want to displace them. At 80 years old, Joshua was there. He filled in. The same anointing that was on Moses came upon Joshua. And this is what Joshua says at the end of his life. Look here. 23 verse 14. Man, I get wrecked every time I read this. And if you're a parent, you should get wrecked every time you read this, because this plan, this confession right here is for you. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. It's for your great-grandchildren. Come on, somebody. It's for your entire family line. But right here in verse 14, he says this, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know, listen to what he says, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, my God, that not one word has failed and all of the good things, come on, somebody, all of the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. Not one thing has failed. This has got to be your confession as you're waiting for things to turn around. Not one thing that God has promised me is going to fail. All of his word is true. All of it is yes, and all of it is amen. If he said it, I believe it, and it's going to come to pass at one point. At the end of Joshua's life, he stood up and said, I don't have regrets. My confession at the end of my life is not one of God's promises fell to the ground without being answered. Not one promise fell to the ground without there being a manifestation. Not one promise fell to the ground without for. And I don't care where you're at right now. I don't care if you're 80 years old, 90 years old. My wife's grandmother is 100, getting ready to be 101. I'll never forget the first time I saw her. She had dentures in, and you know, I didn't even know she had dentures, but she got so excited in a service we were at. She began to stand up and prophesy, and the dentures popped. Everyone, no one saw it because everyone was being holy with their heads bowed and everything. Those dentures popped out right in the middle of her prophesying. She caught those dentures, threw them right back in her mouth, and kept on prophesying without meeting a beat. And she's like, I'm more excited now than I was when I was 30, when I was 40, when I was 50. I'm 80 years old, and I'm still running strong. Now she's 100 and still proclaiming the goodness of God as a matriarch of her family. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how old you are. Not one of God's promises will fail for your life. Not one of God's promises will fail in this church. Not one of God's promises will fail in your finances. Not one of His promises will fail in your business. Not one of them will fail in your body. Not one of them will fail in your children or your children's children's children. Not one of His promises will fail in this city. Not one of His promises will fail in anywhere or anything that you set your mind to. We have gotten into a point where prophecy has become literally us speaking potential into people's lives. Oh, I see this for you. I see that for you. I see this for you. And instead of placing our faith, thank you for that promise. I thank God for what He's doing. But whether you prophesy it over me or not, I already found it in the Word. I already found that I'm going to succeed. I already found that my marriage is going to be blessed. I already found in the Word of God that everything my hands touch is going to prosper. I already found that I'm going to be a businessman or a businesswoman. I already found that I'm going to write books. I already found that I'm going to invent things and be creative, because that's who Christ in me is, the hope of glory. Everything I set my feet to, I don't need you to prophesy over me. I thank God that you do. Prophecy is nothing more than confirming everything in the new covenant that God already put on the inside of you. And I thank God for the prophets, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists. But I'm telling you right now, you will help them out a lot more if you believe this word instead of hanging on them to give you something, instead of acting like Jesus didn't give it to you, start acting like Jesus already gave it to me. That's confirmation. I'm going to run with that. Somebody say amen. It's not your pastor's job to put the Holy Ghost on you. It's the Holy Ghost's job. It's your pastor's job to encourage you to rely on the Holy Ghost and to rely. It's not your pastor's job to be God. It's God's job to be God. It's not the apostle's job to be God. It's God's job to be God. And the sooner you get that, and the more you start honoring what they're doing, the more creative, and ooh, I just feel this right now. I got to come down here for this, all right? Let me just say this to a lot of you. There's a culture of honor that is lacking in the body of Christ. And that culture of honor is treating people the way God wants to treat them. In the midst of your turnaround, you've got to understand, it's not your job to turn me around. It's God's job to turn me around. It's not your job to meet this need. It's God's job to meet this need. And He speaks to you to sow into it. Praise God. You're going to receive a blessing that you can't even possibly understand. But when you begin to honor people for the way that God created them to be, when you honor leaders the way that they are deserved to be honored, and what does that mean? That means you treat them the way God loves them. The way God treats them. You treat each other the way God has called you to treat each other. You call and you love one another the way God calls and loves on you. And when you do that, you begin to bring things out of them that they didn't even realize were there in the first place. If you will get a hold of joy, and you will get a hold of your confession, and you will begin to declare that things are turning around according to the Word of God, and you will begin to love people the way God loves them and not put expectations on each other that you should not be putting on them, you will begin to see things come out of them that you never even expected to come out of them, and they will be a blessing to your life that you never even expected a blessing like that to happen in your life. The body of Christ should start honoring leaders, and I honor what you have been called to do. I honor the fact that God puts you here to bless me and to encourage me, to teach me, to instruct me, and whatever He's done to do. When you begin to honor them like that, you will begin to find that the depth of revelation that they carry will double and triple simply because you are loving the glory of God out of them. And you will find that they love you even more. And the same goes for the people around you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not your job to bring heaven into my life. That's the Holy Ghost's job. You know what I do? I encourage you to pursue heaven with everything that I've got. And when you pursue it, it blesses everything and everyone around you. Happy people love to bless each other. Happy people love to bless the body of Christ. Happy people love to prosper so that they can bless everyone around them. The truth is, a lot of us, I love what Proverbs says about this. when you read about it. Proverbs chapter 24, it's so powerful. But what's really happening is there is a blessing that a lot of us are missing out of because we have things we should not have. What does that mean? That means that a lot of the things that we're holding on to, God's called us to loose, to give away, and to sow. And not until we sow them will there be a blessing that we cannot even possibly understand. If you're holding on things that God called you to sow, you are shortchanging yourself and you're shortchanging everyone around you. And you're holding back things for God from doing things in your life. But let's keep going here. Joshua chapter 24. Not one of his promises have failed. Say this with me. Rejoicing is an intentional act of faith. And it's a demonstration of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you a great story I heard. I'm going to stop with this in a second. And we're going to minister, pray for people. I heard this great story. And it was about pottery. How many of you know anything about pottery? I have nothing about pottery other than this story right here, okay? But seriously, is there anyone, potters, you know anything about building things, clay, anything? Woodworking? Wow, okay, all right, pottery. This is going to speak to you. There was a certain place, and it was a pottery factory, and there was an old gentleman, he was pottering. He was putting stuff in there. I don't know what it's called. Pottering sounds good. So he put things in there. You go up and you ask him, what are you doing? He's like, it's been in there for a while. You know, it's been in the oven for a while. What are you waiting for? Is it time to come out? He said, nope. I'm not waiting on time. I'm waiting for a sound. And when I hear the sound, I'll know it's time and the pottery's done. It'll be finished. He said, what sound are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the pottery to start singing while it's in the oven. Because that liquid, that mud, that clay, everything will begin to make a sound after a while. He said, a lot of people try to put it in for 60 minutes or whatever. And he said, it's the wrong way to do it because you're doing it on timing and you're not basing it on that specific object. But when you put it in the oven and it's turning in there and the heat is going right now, if you listen really closely, you'll hear a high-pitched whistle. That thing will start singing. And when you hear that thing start singing, you know it's time to take it out because it's finished. There is a sound on the inside of you waiting to come out right now. Some of you have been on that wheel for a long time. Some of you have been turning around on the inside, and what's happening is God is waiting for that sound to start singing out of your lungs. And when that singing starts to come out on the inside of you, you will know, oh my gosh, it's time. This is my season. This is my time. And the sound that's coming out of me is producing breakthrough in my life. There's another great story about wood instruments. There is a specific kind of wood that people look for when they, pianos, guitars, whatever it is required wood, they look for a certain kind of wood that was literally grown on what they call the north side of the mountain. And on the north side of the mountain, on most mountains, that is the side of the mountain that has the most storms, it has the most wind, has the most hail. Anything bad that's going to happen is always going to happen more on the north side of the mountain. And because of it, the wood that grows on the north side of a mountain is completely different than the wood goes anywhere else. The sound that comes out of that wood is completely different. And sometimes, every once in a while, you will get an instrument that has wood in it that was literally in a professional musician, whatever it is, guitarist, they will say, you could have 100 guitars lined up right there, and that one guitar will sound a little bit different than the rest of them. And they will say, hey, what kind of wood was this made out of? Oh, it's made from this wood. And where'd you get the wood? Oh, we got this wood from the north side of the mountain in such a place. And you find that wood that is grown on that side because of what it went through produces a sweeter sound than any other kind of wood. And I want you to know that tonight because I've gotten so used to Saturday nights, Sunday mornings. And what happens is what you have been going through in your life is producing a sound in you that you've never even heard before, that people beside you have never even heard before, because the wood that's on the inside of you is the wood that went through a cross, is the wood that went into a grave, is the wood that went down into the earth, is the wood that got back up again on the third day, and is the wood that now sits in heaven waiting to come back. And the sound that's on the inside of you identifies with the same sound that's in Christ Jesus. That's why things are going to turn around in your life this morning. Come on, stand up on your feet with me today. Is this okay, Jeremy? Yes, all right. Is there anything else we need to do before we? Okay. Sweetie, have you got anything? All right. I want you to just lift up your hands for a moment. And if we could have like a guitar player or whoever else, keep whatever it is, if you would just come lightly strum. I want you just to be in it. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost right now for a moment. I want you to say this with me one more time before we get into this. Say this with me. Say, this too shall turn to my salvation. Say, it's turning around right now. I'm going to read you this in Ephesians 3:10. This is the Message paraphrase. Through followers of Jesus, just like you, gathered in churches, the extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. I want you to know that what you are going to do in this church is going to be talked about in heaven. It's going to be talked about among the angels. It's going to be talked about all over the earth. Things are turning around this morning, and it's time for you to realize that it's no more time for as usual. These are some abnormal times that you're living in right now that require the turnaround on the inside of you.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.